Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. Counsel, I wish at this point...
Counsel, would you introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, I will. My name is Bruce Fredrickson. I am counsel for the plaintiff appellant in this matter, Alan Gerhart. Seated at counsel table with me is Angie LaDuke, another lawyer who has assisted in this case, and Mr. Gerhart.
Very well.
I wish at this point I could turn to my right and address the members of the jury, but unfortunately I cannot do that. I can't do that in light, or in spite, I guess, of the many, many material issues of fact that exist in this case. I know the Court is well aware of the underpinnings of the case and has been briefed on those, so I don't intend to go into...
Well, let's start with the property interest in the permit.
Yes.
Help us sort that out.
I would be very happy to help you sort that out, and if I could, I'd like to reserve about two.
Just watch the clock. And
yes.
It's in front of you. Go ahead.
The property interest question goes directly to the two due process counts. And the district court did not get beyond, really, the first prong of the analysis, and that is determining whether this, in fact, is a protected property interest, and then second, obviously, do the facts support the existence of a property interest. The district court, I believe, Your Honor, and I would submit, erred when it relied primarily on two things to reach the conclusion that a property interest did not exist in this case. First, it relied on Montana Code Annotated Section 14-2101. And then also the Shanks case in conjunction with that. The court stopped its analysis there. It said that 2101 imparts broad discretion on the county in dealing with roads. And it says Shanks supports that proposition. And that's where the court stopped its analysis. What the district court did not do is recognize that line of cases and recognize the line of cases that talk about the creation of a property interest outside the confines of a statute, even where that statute confers broad discretion on a county. What the statute does not do, it does not prohibit the county from defining the criteria necessary to obtain the type of permit that Mr. Gerhart...
But what is it that establishes, in your view, the legal entitlement to a permit in this case? Because that's what you have to help us with.
Things outside of the statute. We'll concede the statute does not in and of itself establish a property interest, but the county's actions certainly do. The county's criteria in issuing this type of permit was based on a long-standing history of working with the property owner, to ensure, and the testimony I think is pretty clear, to ensure that the permit in fact is issued.
It's kind of fuzzy.
There are other facts also that go to that same issue. Here, when Mr. Gerhart in November of 2007 actually began construction of his access road prior to that time, in the face of all of his neighbors having very similar access, none of whom had permits. In November of 2007, the county road superintendent, Larry Ely, approaches Mr. Gerhart and says, "You need a permit." Okay. Mr. Gerhart said, "Fax me the application or whatever you have, we'll deal with it." He does that and gets the permit. The permit signed by Mr. Ely.
But doesn't it have to be signed by the commissioners or not?
Although the commissioner's signatures appear, or lines for their signatures appear on the permit, nowhere on the permit does it say that The county road superintendent does not have authority to issue it.
So your argument as a legal matter is then that the permit, in fact, was issued when Ely signed it. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it was. Or at least there was a reasonable expectation on Mr. Gerhardt's part that that was the end of the story. Okay. Because Mr. Ely at the time, and a permit does not limit Mr. Ely's discretion. When Mr. Ely signs the permit, gives it back to Mr. Gerhardt, signed. And the permit and application are interesting in and of themselves because the application and the permit are one and the same document.
Is the permit issued in the name of the county or is it issued in the name of the roads supervisor?
It is, the permit itself is...
No, by statute or by ordinance.
There is no statute nor ordinance that defines it.
All right, resolution then that was adopted by the council.
There is none. The criteria for issuance of the permit are laid out in the permit itself. And the criteria are also...
But isn't by charter from the legislature the...
No.
...authority to legislate for the county vested in the commissioners?
Yes, it is.
So every act of government really is done in their name.
Yeah, that is entirely true. And the statute...
And that's why they had three signature lines on it, right?
No, because the statute...
How many did they have? Three signatures?
There are actually four signature lines on the permit. One for the county road supervisor, and then there are three signature lines for the commissioners. Okay. But the commissioner's testimony... is interesting in that light as well, because the commissioners all testify, well, it didn't really take all three of our signatures. Nowhere on the permit does it say that, nor does the permit say it takes any of their signatures. In fact, the commissioners oftentimes did not even require a permit. The application and permit, again, are the same document and set forth the criteria for its issuance. In fact, the permit / application, because same document, start with a language that states, Lake County hereby grants conditional authorization to Alan Gerhardt. There is no indication anywhere that a signature by the county road superintendent is not sufficient for the permit's issuance at all. In fact, the statute grants the county the authority, specifically grants the county the authority, to vest that power in the road superintendent.
Then there would be an ordinance to that effect.
Unfortunately, we're dealing with Lake County, Montana, and unfortunately, that's what we're dealing with, and there is not an ordinance. Again, the procedures.
I would have one other question I'd like to address to you. Your client has an alternate road. I mean, a road connection that will let him get on any public highway or road in the county, right?
He does have
alternative. He doesn't want to use that because he's accommodating his neighbors dumping supplies or something during the summer, right?
It's a very awkward access, Your Honor, and there have been problems with that access. And frankly,
he was the builder that built the house and laid the road, didn't he?
He did.
He knows what he's doing.
Well, yes, and he was relying, as I think he justifiably could, on the county's actions in dealing with the permits. And frankly, I think that the existence of the alternative access is really a red herring in this case.
Well, did he get a permit on the alternate access?
That was a private that's a private access across neighbor's property. And really, I think that is a red herring in this case, because what we're dealing with is his right to utilize his property in a manner consistent with the means by which every other landowner in that community is utilizing its property.
Counsel, why don't we go to the
I was just going to say, no, maybe we should talk about the equal protection claim.
Yes,
yes, exactly.
What facts are in dispute that require a trial in order to resolve that?
I think there are many. The district court, in its order granting summary judgment on the equal protection claim, based its decision on what it said was insufficient evidence to show, although recognizing that there was differential treatment, and I don't think there's any dispute here, when you're dealing with one permit denial out of thousands, I don't think there's any dispute that there was differential treatment here. The district court said that, well, there's nothing really to show that that differential treatment was anything other than accidental. I would submit, Your Honors, that the record is replete with evidence that a jury could certainly find that the county's and the commissioner's actions were more than accidental. There was clear animosity between the county sanitarian and Mr. Gerhardt. That animosity, a jury could certainly infer, was imparted to the commissioners, particularly since the county sanitarian and one of the commissioners, the commissioner, the only commissioner, mind you, that was able to testify that, well, I thought about reasons for the denial of the permit. The only commissioner had a close working relationship, had worked directly with one another. In fact, there's an email in the file dealing with the issues involved in this case. It's at the excerpts at 125, 126, directed by or Terry Murphy, the county sanitarian, to the county attorney, where Mr. Murphy states, if the county has other issues, then let's team up and make it worth our while. I have a long history with Mr. Gerhardt. To say that he is smooth to the point of being slimy is an understatement. I think that that piece of evidence in and of itself is sufficient for a jury to infer that the county's actions in dealing with Mr. Gerhardt rose to a level beyond beyond simple accident.
Now, your contention here is based on the Willowbrook case, I assume. Willowbrook Supreme Court case?
Well, it's actually, yeah, I mean, the primary case relied upon in our equal protection argument was Squaw Valley, yeah. Which, yeah, and the Willowbrook case is the class of one, which we're dealing with, yes.
Yeah, but part of the three-part test under Willowbrook is there has to be an absence of a rational basis. Now, what's
yes.
your response on that?
And an absence of rational basis can be shown, and I think the cases are clear, by showing pretext, by showing facts sufficient to give rise to pretext. And I think the facts in this case are very much sufficient for a jury to determine that the rationale stated by the
commissioners. One of the reasons they gave, you know, one of the reasons they gave was that the road covered the drain.
Clearly pretextual, because it was based on nothing more than speculation at best, if that speculation was even true. Mr. Gerhardt, through his counsel, flat told them that condition was not true, and it is not. And what did the county do? Nothing.
Counsel, you're down to a minute and a half, so you may want to reserve.
I will do that, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
You'll hear from the county.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Deanne Cooney, and I represent Lake County in this matter. I would begin by saying that the lower court was correct in its finding that Mr. Gerhardt had no legitimate expectation of a property interest in this matter.
Well, now, what about the signature of Mr. Ely on the permit?
Mr. It's pronounced Ale. Mr. Ale.
Ale. Okay.
signed the permit as a recommendation to the commissioners that the access be approved. There is testimony in the record that he had concerns about the access, concerns about the steepness of the access, but he did sign it to recommend approval.
Well, wouldn't that be enough to vest a certain entitlement, at least sufficient to pursue these claims in Mr. Gerhart?
Well, Your Honor, there's no evidence of any delegation of authority by the county to Mr. Ayle to authorize the access easements.
But apparently there's no statute and there's no ordinance that even deals with this. Isn't that right? This is all kind of ad hoc?
It's all a very informal process. And the facts and the parties agree to that. It's an informal process.
Why wouldn't it be reasonable for Mr. Gerhart to assume that since Mr. Ayle had signed the permit, that he could get it?
Well, because the permit actually provides that it will be taken care of prior to construction being undertaken. And in this case, the access was constructed and completed prior to the application being made.
It didn't infringe on county property. It was all on the owner's property, though, wasn't it?
It
was done. Or it's on the property owner's property. It did not need a permit.
That's true, Your Honor. The permit also provides that the Lake County Commissioners, that the Lake County Commissioners can revoke the permit at any time. I just don't think there's anything in the permit that would allow Mr. Gerhart to believe that the road supervisor had authority to provide the access. And I also would like to point out that was not argued below. The whole delegation of authority issue was not raised or argued below, and it should not be considered by this court.
Are there 10 adjoining property owners that have had no difficulty at all joining the county road?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Are there 10 neighbors of the petitioner who have access to the county road, no trouble at all?
Well, that's what he has that's what he has stated. I think
the county doesn't seem to dispute that.
And there are no permits. The county has to concede that the file does not contain other permits. This is true.
But he needed a permit.
Now, why was he singled out in that context? That's when I look at the record and I see that his 10 neighbors went ahead and put the access in without even asking for a permit, and the county is not pursuing them. Why was he singled out?
I think that I don't have a specific answer to that, and I don't think
that the
record
reflects that.
Been working
with the file for all this time. What do you point to?
I'm sorry, I did not hear you.
You should know the record, right?
I do know.
All right. So what's in the record that supports that would allow you to answer Judge O'Scanlan's question?
There had been concern by somehow this came to the attention of the commissioners. The county road system in the county is expensive.
Well, one neighbor grumbled, right?
A neighbor grumbled, and so that sent the road supervisor out to the property.
He checked it out. He may have had some concerns, but then he signed off on it.
That's true. The county road supervisor looks at the roads on behalf of the county and makes a recommendation.
Sort of arbitrary of the commissioners not to approve it, isn't it?
Well, they have complete discretion to take the steps in the best interest of the county road.
Do they have the authority to be indiscreet in terms of prejudice?
Well, that was not the basis of this, Your Honor. There were legitimate concerns about the steepness of the road, and there were also concerns about the road going over the drain field.
They didn't shut the other 9-10 roads down, did they?
They did not.
Counsel, why don't we talk about the equal protection issue? In other words, the Willowbrook analysis.
Yes. We have to concede that Mr. Gerhart's application was treated differently, because that's clear. What Mr. Gerhart has tried to do, though, is to to bootstrap his contentious relationship with the county sanitation officer into the commissioners having some sort of animosity towards him. And I don't think the fact that he had a contentious past can be an appropriate inference to make the commissioners, to create that inference that the commissioners had the same animosity. There's an absence in the record of any complaints that Mr. Gerhardt had or any problems that he had with Commissioner Tressler, and he stated in his briefs that somehow because Commissioner Tressler worked with the road supervisor that created an inference that he had the same animosity towards Mr. Gerhardt or that he did not want to deal with Mr. Gerhardt. Mr. Tressler was a sanitarian for the county. He was aware of the conditions of the lots and how the lots were set in and where the drain fields had to go. So there was a reasonable basis. It was a reasonable concern. And for Mr. Gerhardt, Mr. Gerhardt has argued that his attorney provided evidence that the drain field, the road did not go over the drain field. He provided his assertion that it didn't go over the drain field and said if it did go over the drain field, then it was done appropriately. The commissioners asked him to offered him the opportunity to meet with them, and he could have provided specific information and evidence that it did not cross the drain field.
But even the county never established that it did go over the drain field. They said if, and never followed up. Now, isn't that, you know, we're talking here about reasonable contentions of fact. Isn't that enough to at least raise an issue of pretext?
I don't believe it is, Your Honor. I think that the county's knowledge, the commissioner's knowledge of the area and knowledge of how the drain fields were set in and the dimensions of the lot and where the road logically had to go.
But they never established that.
They did not. And Mr. Gerhardt did not establish with evidence that the road did not cross the drain field. He did not present them initially with any evidence that they had to refute in order to just have a basis to have a concern about it. And they didn't really foreclose it. They left the opportunity open, and it could have been discussed further. But I don't think Mr. Gerhardt provided any evidence that countered what the basis of the county was.
Has there ever been any attempt to settle this?
Yes.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take much, would it?
That's, you would have to talk to Mr. Gerhardt's counsel about that.
Okay. Anything further, counsel?
I have nothing.
Thank you very much. Mr. Fredrickson, you have a little reserve time.
Briefly, Your Honor. Couple of things. Counsel for the county indicated during her argument that there was no evidence of delegation. There is more evidence of delegation, I would submit, than there is of none or of no delegation.
And she also asserts that the issue was never raised. Is that correct?
No, that is not true. It may not have been articulately raised, it was one of the key issues that was dealt with below. And we've cited in our brief, I believe it's excerpts of the record 167, 68, or 68, 69, where in briefing below, which we were not involved in, the issue did come up. But it's interesting that they take that position. When Mr. Ale, and I'm sorry I mispronounced it, signs the permit, and who signs the denial letter? I would submit that the signature on a denial letter by the same individual who signed the permit is certainly evidence of authority and of delegation of authority. The county also took the position throughout their briefing, and I heard it again on argument, that this was completed prior to construction. That is not true.
Thank you, counsel. Your time has expired. Before we submit this case, My colleague raised the potential of settlement. If there is a sense between counsel here present that the services of our mediator, our Ninth Circuit Court mediator, would be of assistance, why, we'd be very happy to assign the case to the mediator in the interim. But I think we need a signal. Is there?
Well, Your Honor, we had agreed or had proceeded with that earlier. And
so you've been through the mediation process with the circuit mediator?
We have.
You have. Very well. All right. Very well. Well, that sounds to me like we will submit this case for decision.